Well, good morning. This morning, I want to share with you perhaps my favorite story in the whole of Scripture. It's a story about two regular guys who are leaving the city of Jerusalem following Passover weekend when everything has unfolded with Jesus. In the story, there are two guys. One is named Cleopas. We don't know the name of the other guy. But it's the conclusion of Passover weekend, and the great city of Jerusalem has just come through the biggest weekend of its history. Jesus is believed to be dead, and chaos and confusion fill the air. Cleopas and his friend, they head back to their hometown. It's a little village called Emmaus, about 7 miles outside of the city of Jerusalem. Just to give you a sense of that distance, we're familiar with 2 meters of social distancing, but that 7 miles would be like walking from the facility in Cornwall all the way down to the Delta. So this is the journey that's before them following Passover weekend. And while walking, Cleopas and his friend are talking about everything that's happened in the city over the last couple days. And while walking and talking, Jesus, the one in whom they saw die, comes up behind them and begins to dialogue with him, begins to engage in conversation. And you'll get a little window into the weird humor that I have as I engage the scriptures. Because there's moments where we get to see personality, we get to see humor, we get to see comedy. And for me, this is one of the more funnier moments in all of the scripture where Jesus begins to engage these two men while they walk to Emmaus. And here is the question that Jesus asks them while walking to this particular village. He says, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" Cleopas' response is just awesome. And you can hear the tone in this a little bit, or at least I can hear the tone in this, given my sense of humor and my personality. And Cleopas' response to Jesus' question is, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that happen there these days?" And I think this is the moment that is just hilarious for me, where Jesus acts completely like he just plays dumb, as though he has no idea what's unfolded, as though he's not been the centerpiece of everything that's happened. His response to Cleopas, who says, "How do you not know what's unfolded over in Jerusalem over the last couple days?" And Jesus' response is simply, "What things? What are you talking about?" I need you to picture this in your minds this morning before we keep going. Two guys, Emmaus, headed to Emmaus, Cleopas and his friend, walking from Jerusalem to this little village, talking about everything that's happened in the city over the last 72 hours. They're talking about the garden scene and what's unfolded there, where Jesus was arrested and betrayed by his closest friends, where the rest of them just kind of scattered. They're talking about the trial before Pilate, where Pilate sends him to Herod and then Herod back to Pilate, and this big confusion unfolds about what they're going to do with this man. And Pilate, in an attempt to satisfy the crowd, has him scourged, and they want more than just this. Pilate, again, brings Barabbas before the people, says, "Which would you sooner, Jesus or Barabbas?" And they're like, "We want Barabbas, we want Jesus crucified and killed." They're talking about the cross, where they would have led Jesus through the city, and the uproar that's unfolding on the way to Golgotha. They're talking about this whole moment of when Jesus is nailed to a cross. They're talking about the words that he said from the cross to different participants that are there that particular afternoon. No doubt they're talking about the darkness that covered the land and how bizarre and peculiar that was. They're talking about the earthquake that unfolded the moment that Jesus dies. And no doubt they are talking about the rumor of Jesus perhaps now being alive. Jesus joins them in the middle of this conversation. They don't recognize Jesus for who he is. And Jesus asks, "What are you talking about?" And I find it to be absolutely hilarious that Jesus, the centerpiece of it all, acts as though he has no idea what unfolded in Jerusalem over the last 3 days. If we keep going in the story, you can almost hear Cleopas' response. You can almost hear this tone that's borderline inappropriate. And if he knew who he was talking to, I'm sure it would have come out different. But Cleopas responds and says, "About Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. To make matters worse, it's the third day since all of this has taken place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early that morning. They didn't find his body. They came back, told us stories of angels and visions and that Jesus' body's not here, that he's alive. Some of our friends went to the tomb. They found that the women's words were true, but his body wasn't there. Can you hear the confusion? Can you hear the chaos in Cleopas' voice as he's describing to Jesus this moment, this feeling, this reality that they're now in? This wasn't supposed to happen. We don't know what to believe anymore. We don't know where he is. We don't know what's unfolding. We're just lost. Jesus' response in this moment is priceless. He says to them, "You're fools. How slow you are to believe all the things that the prophets have spoken. Did not Messiah have to suffer these things? Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what the scriptures taught concerning himself." So again, let me set the stage for you. The three of them, Jesus, Cleopas, and the unknown friend, walking from Jerusalem to this little village called Emmaus. Confusion and chaos are everywhere. Jesus plays completely dumb and then begins to walk them through everything that the scriptures had been talking about connected to himself. And he goes all the way back into the Old Testament and begins to connect the dots for these two men. I don't know what the conversation was, but it may have sounded something like this. "Cleopas, do you remember when God promised Adam and Eve that through their offspring, someone would come that would crush the head of the snake? Do you remember how God called Abram? How God had promised Abram that his people, his descendants, would be a blessing to all nations? Do you remember these things, Cleopas?" Cleopas, being a good God-fearing Jewish man in the first century, he knew of these things. And no doubt he responds to Jesus, "Well, yes, of course I remember these things. I know these things. Who doesn't know these things?" Jesus keeps going, "Cleopas, do you remember Moses and the Passover? Do you remember how God rescued his people from slavery? Do you remember that they were stuck for 400 years in a space that they could not do anything about? Do you remember the plagues that came one after the other, all of them with this beautiful exposing that the deities of Egypt have no ability to stop the God of the universe? Do you remember the night where God said, 'Go find the lamb, get its blood, put it on the doorposts and the mantles, and on the morning after, you will walk out free'? Do you remember that on that night, there were thousands of Israelites and Egyptians that walked freely from a land that they couldn't do anything about? Do you remember the Passover night?" Cleopas would have been right there, almost rolling his eyes to a certain degree, because this is what they're celebrating this weekend, is Passover. I remember this. This is why we're here. This is the whole thing for us. This is the great act of God's salvation in our history. Who doesn't know this? The prophets, Cleopas, Jesus may have went a little further. Do you remember them? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos. Do you remember what they said, Cleopas? Cleopas may have answered this question by quoting Isaiah chapter 9. "For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus may have smiled at that response and said, "Yeah, that's right." Jesus may have prompted him a little bit more, saying, "Do you remember what Ezekiel said? Do you remember his words?" And being a good God-fearing Jew, he would have been like, "Oh, I totally know what Ezekiel said. I will give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from your heart the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Cleopas, do you remember how things went silent? How God stopped talking? I remember those days. We're kind of in those days still. My parents spoke of those days. We couldn't figure out what was going on. We didn't know where God went. We didn't know why prophets stopped talking to us as a people. Jesus may have interrupted him in that moment to say, and then do you remember John the Baptist? This guy was crazy. He was the original hipster. Beard oil, lumberjack shirts. I don't think hipsters know even what lumber is. But anyway, did you ever see him, Cleopas? Did you ever get a chance to hear him? Yes, that guy was special to say the least. He ate bugs, drank honey. That guy was weird. And he kept yelling at everybody, he's here, he's here, it's here. People would ask, well, who's here? The Messiah is here, the one that Abram spoke of, the greater and better Moses, the one that our prophets couldn't stop talking about. Make straight the paths, he is here. And it's right here where I can't help but think Cleopas goes to a dark, confusing, chaotic space where he would have interrupted this whole story that Jesus is doing with him. And he says, I know all this stuff. But he's dead now. And dead people don't rise again. It's over. It's all over. There's moments as a father with our kids, particularly our youngest girls, that when we really want for them to hear what we're saying, Amy and I will kind of lean in and grab their little face and hold it in our hands gently like this. And we'll kind of pull them in so that our eyes lock, so that they're listening to what we're going to say. And often we'll say things like, I really love you. I think you're incredibly special. So that they get and that they can feel what it is that we feel towards them. And in this moment, I picture Jesus leaning into Cleopas and holding his face in his hands and looking right in his eyes and saying to him, I am him. I've been raised from the grave. I am the one that you've been waiting for and hoping for. I am the Messiah. Cleopas's eyes are opened. I can't imagine what would have gone on inside of his heart, inside of his life in this moment. But in Luke 24, 31, it reads this. It says, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and then he disappeared from their sight. The story continues on, but for the rest of our time here this morning, it's my prayer that amid the chaos, amid the confusion, and I would bet my life that this is not just simply my prayer, but this is the prayer of every preacher this morning all over the globe, that no matter where you are in your home watching this or watching hundreds of different sermons, live stream services, Easter celebrations in all kinds of beautiful different ways, that this collective prayer is this, that your eyes would be opened and that you would experience a clarity similar to that of Cleopas on the road to Emmaus, that you would come to see and know the risen Christ, that you would experience this holding your face in his hands, and that he would look into your eyes and say, I am alive. I am the one who brings life. I am the one who can do all of these things. Would you trust me? Would you follow me? In my own life, similar to that in Cleopas's life, like the millions of men and women around the world this morning, that you would experience this burning in your heart, that it comes to life when you come to walk with the living God. That in this place you would experience freedom and joy and hope and rest and contentment. That in the middle of all of the confusion of COVID, we are fine. We are at rest. We are at peace. We understand hope. We get it because there's actual real things in this connected to the work and person of Jesus Christ. And please make no mistake, these things are possible because now these things are tapped into, are linked to the one who can actually give these things. Jesus Christ is the giver of these things. And when we experience it, our response back to him is nothing but praise and celebration. To finish up this morning, I would ask you to watch all the way through to the end. Don't turn off your TV when I stop preaching, because there's a beautiful story that you're about to watch of Kelsey Campbell McIntyre. Campbell, she's married now. That you would experience and see in her the same clarity that we see in the story that I've experienced in my life, that I know that many of you experienced this morning while you're sitting at home and watching. Please watch the screen.